Thank you. May it please the court, counsel, I am Donovan Robertson and I represent the appellant, Timothy Brown. This case arises out of a traffic stop that took place on Interstate 80 in Henry County, Illinois in September of 2007. Officer Fratsky, trooper with the Illinois State Police, stopped Mr. Brown as his vehicle was proceeding on Interstate 80 eastbound. Trooper Fratsky noticed that Mr. Brown's vehicle was traveling at a speed of 68 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone, and followed him for a while and paced him going as fast as 70 miles an hour when he initiated a traffic stop. Trooper Fratsky asked Mr. Brown for certain documents, including his driver's license and so forth, and at this time it was discovered that the vehicle, a 2007 GMC Acadia in which Mr. Brown was traveling, was in fact a rental agreement. Mr. Brown produced a valid driver's license. He produced evidence that he had insurance and was insured, and he also produced a copy of the rental agreement. The rental agreement, which is in the appendix of our brief, indicates that the vehicle had been rented by one Annie Bell, who it later turned out was Mr. Brown's girlfriend. The rental agreement speaks for itself, and it does have a notation on it that the car was only to be driven by the driver authorized on the written agreement. In this case, that's Annie Bell.
Okay, so Mr. Robertson, to cut to the chase here, I know the district court has two reasons. One is whether, under the circumstances you've just described, Mr. Brown has standing to challenge this search.
That's correct.
And the other is the merits. And what I would like to jump to, actually, is the merits. I mean, the Supreme Court has criticized the standing rubric anyway for these Fourth Amendment cases. It allows
right.
us to think about whether there's a sufficient interest that, that society is willing to protect. But going ahead to the actual merits, I have a lot of trouble. I watched the video. It's very interesting to see the police work at issue. Why this is not a constitutional stop, basically, why on the merits? And the district court does turn to the merits. He says, you know, I think there's no standing, but if I had to reach the merits, this was an okay search. You know, first of all, I understand Mr. Brown is not challenging the original traffic search. This court in the in-bank decision, United States against Child, says a brief additional period of time for conversation doesn't have Fourth Amendment significance. The Supreme Court has said in Illinois against Caballos that you can walk the dog around the car. The dog alerts. The trooper goes up to him and says, my dog is alerted. That gives me probable cause to search. Mr. Brown's apparently contest that for a minute. But anyway, he opens it up and there's the cocaine. I mean, what's the problem?
The problem is as follows. The traffic stop in this case, we contend, ended. And if Your Honor remembers the video, it's pretty clear for the most part. But then at the time that the citation is issued and the documents are returned, Trooper Fratsky and Mr. Brown are at the front of the car.
Right.
We can't see
them too well.
And Judge McDade, and I've seen the video too, we can't hear exactly what was said in the front there.
But what you can hear, though, is the trooper saying something to the effect of, you know, I'm going to try to get you out of here as soon as I can, blah, blah, blah. He's being very pleasant. And then, as troopers are wont to do, he half turns away and then he turns back and says, would you mind, you know, if I asked you a couple more questions? Because, of course, by this time, the troopers run the license. He knows that they're the priors.
Correct.
He knows. And so that reminds me so much of what happened in Childs. I mean, just a few more questions, a relatively brief period of time, wants to take the dog around. It can't be more than a few minutes.
I think the distinguishing factor here, and Your Honor's obviously hit the issue squarely on the head, I think the distinguishing factor here is that Trooper Fratsky, in response to my cross-examination at the motion to suppress, indicated that at the time he was handing these documents back, he said Mr. Brown was not free to go, that the stop was still ongoing. And in Childs, there were no questions that were unrelated to the traffic stop that were asked. In this case, the questions that Trooper Fratsky proceeded into were unrelated to the traffic stop itself. They had a separate investigatory purpose.
But they're only a minute. I mean, you know, we said in Childs, you know, troopers can talk to people. He doesn't, you know, throw some handcuffs on Mr. Brown's or anything at that moment. He says, I want to, you know, I have a few more questions.
Granted. And it did not prolong temporally the stop in all that much longer. I think the record disclosed 2 or 3 minutes.
And then there's this exchange, which is a little bit hard to hear, but if you take the volume all the way up, he says several times, he said, I'd like to walk my dog around your vehicle if any illegal narcotics. And then he quickly says, okay, there's no reason my dog's going to alert in this vehicle. And then you can hear Mr. Brown say, nope. And he seems to say, walk around, yeah. And so it just doesn't come across as something, and particularly given that these are facts that the district court has to find.
Well, the district court also found, in terms of a continuing investigatory stop after we contended the traffic stop was over,
mm-hmm.
that the facts upon which Trooper Fratsky may have based an investigatory stop, those being the smell of fabric softener, nervousness of my client, three cell phones, and in his ruling, Judge McDade said that he agreed with defense counsel that those things would not form a separate basis for probable cause in this case.
But what Trooper Fratsky does seem to be doing is getting consent from Mr. Brown for just letting him walk around. Maybe he doesn't even need to, but he seems to get consent from Mr. Brown.
We contend there was no consent. Judge McDade's ruling said that he could not hear and that he could not, that he never heard my client say no. We feel that since the burden is on the government in this case to show the legality of the search, that the absence of hearing someone say no is not the same as hearing someone say yes.
And but I thought Judge McDade also then said he has one other comment right after that, but then if you listen, it certainly sounds to me on the tape like he says walk around, yeah.
It seems to be in response to, am I going to find drugs in this car? Nope.
Well, that's the nope that's before.
Yeah.
So he says, okay, so yeah. You don't have any problem with me walking my dog around. And then there's mumble, mumble, walk around, yeah. And then Fratsky says, okay, all right, can I have you step up here real quick? Yup. You know.
Right.
So
it is our contention that does not amount to consent.
Okay.
Did Your Honors wish me to address the issues of standing?
I think we stand on the briefs. We're taking on the briefs.
Are there any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Ms. Mullen.
May it please the court, counsel, Linda Mullen on behalf of the United States. I had planned to focus on standing as well, so unless the court feels differently about my argument, I'll move to the legitimacy of the search here. A few things I'd like to point out. I think I'd like to focus on this issue of consent because defense counsel makes much in their opening and reply briefs about the court's request to view the video and then the court saying, I didn't hear him say no, I think is what Judge McDade says. I think we need to keep in mind that it's on page 61 of the transcript. Trooper Fratsky did testify. We don't just have the video. We have the testimony from Trooper Fratsky, and he says, I asked the defendant if I could run the dog, and the defendant said, okay. And then I think on cross-examination, he says the specific words were something like, go ahead, yeah, go ahead, something like that. So it's not as though the only thing that the court had to go on was the video. I think it's also significant, although it is a little bit difficult to hear on the video, you really have to turn it up, it's our view as well that that's what happened, but we have to look at what happens directly after that as well, because Trooper Fratsky then says to the defendant, well, I'd like you to roll up your window, the passenger window, because we don't want the dog jumping into your car. And you don't hear the defendant at that point on the video say, well, wait a minute, I said you couldn't walk the dog. The defendant says, fine, and then Trooper Fratsky says, in fact, may I reach in and roll up the window for you? And the defendant says, that's fine. So there isn't any sense that on the video that the defendant is jumping up and down and saying, I thought I just told you you couldn't walk the dog, and I think that also lends credence to the idea that he did consent. Putting that aside, of course, it's our position that we didn't, that Trooper Frotsky didn't need consent from the defendant to walk the dog. As Judge Wood points out, you know, post-Childs, this stop was extended a mere 1 or 2 minutes after the time that Trooper Frotsky returns the paperwork to the defendant. He asks him, in fact, he's more musing out loud, this seems a little odd, this trip that you would take. It's not very fiscally responsible to spend all this money to drive out when flying would be a lot cheaper. Trooper Frotsky, in general, always is very conversational with defendants during traffic stops, and it's no different in this case when you look at the video. It's very friendly, very conversational, not at all threatening. And then he simply says, you know, do you have anything illegal in the car? And I'd like to walk my dog around the car to be sure. That all happens within a minute after returning the paperwork. Mr. Robertson just pointed out or stated that in Childs there were no questions unrelated to the purpose of the stop, but that's not true. That was the very issue in Childs. It was a traffic stop based upon a cracked windshield, and the officer in that case asked whether there were drugs or guns in the car. So this is very similar to Childs, and there's just nothing that happened in this case that is even remotely problematic in terms of staying concretely within the jurisprudence of this court and the Supreme Court. So if the court has no questions, I'll return the balance of my time. Thank you.
Robertson, have any rebuttal?
No, sir.
All right. Well, first of all, thanks to both counsel. And, Mr. Robertson, I want to extend an additional thanks to the court for your accepting this appointment and ably representing the defendant.
Thank you, Judge.
Case is taken under advisement.